Good morning, everyone. It's great to see some new faces. Not new faces, but newer. We haven't seen for quite some time. It's good to see people starting to return back. And we're just looking forward to the day where most of our people will be back. And I don't know, you probably read it this morning that by the end of March, we won't have to wear masks anymore. You can cheer for that. I was actually just thinking that 4 years ago, we burned our mortgage, and there was quite a celebration in the church the day we did that. Maybe we should have a mask burning ceremony at the end of March. We'll probably have more excitement. totally off script. All right. About a year ago, I had the opportunity to do a reference for one of my, I'll call him a friend. Probably more of an acquaintance in recent years, but this is an individual who had worked with me about 15, 20 years ago. An individual who was pretty close to our family, worked with me at Lakeshore Camp, and I knew really well. And I really admired this young man, and he went into ministry and has done a great job in ministry. And so he was applying for the lead pastor position of a church, and he asked me if I would be a reference. Now, the truth is, everybody, I hadn't really interacted with this young man for like I said, about 15 years, maybe even 20. And I was like, for sure, yeah, I'll do that for you. I hope you get this job. This would be great, a great church for you. And then I started to think about what I was actually going to say. I mean, when you haven't talked with somebody on a regular basis, you haven't been in interaction with somebody on a regular basis, you really don't know what's going on in their life. And so the day came, and I got this phone call from the board of this church, and they wanted to ask me a bunch of questions. And what I kept on saying was statements like this. You know, I'm not really sure right now, but the last I remember, he was really good at this. You know, I'm not really sure in recent history how he's doing in this area. But what I remember that speaks to this question is this, and I kept on pointing back to years ago things that I had learned from him, or things that I had observed in him, things that I had saw in his life from our interactions. And by the end of that reference check on this young man, I felt like I had given him a pretty good reference. But there was a part of me that really, honestly, questioned whether or not I had made up stuff. You know, whether or not that I had truly given an honest assessment of him. And I tried to say, hey, look, I really don't know that. I haven't seen this in him. But I would always pull back from things of the past. I was thinking about that this week as I was writing this message, because it's incredible how often as Christians, when it comes to what we communicate about Jesus, can often be just like that reference call. That we will begin to talk about Jesus from things that we've learned years ago, experiences that we've had in the past, from things from our memory, or maybe from little things that we've picked up along the way from our interactions, or maybe we will speak of Jesus from things that we've ascertained from other people. But when it comes to what we are able to communicate about Jesus right now, there are many Christians, and I don't know how many, but there are Christians who struggle with communicating what Jesus is like in their person right now. Like right now, not from a historical relationship, not from a sporadic relationship, but an intimate relationship right now. And we simply refer back to some time in the past. And when that reality is in a Christian's life, what happens is we fake it. We pretend that we know Jesus intimately, but all we are doing is talking about something from a memory. Or we'll speak into something that somebody else has shared, but there is nothing that's firsthand in our life. But friends, I want to tell you that's not what Jesus has for us. That's not Jesus' vision for us. That's not what he desires for our life. Jesus desires a current, close connection with you and me. He doesn't want us just pulling back on the memory from 15 years ago. He doesn't want you just knowing about Jesus from what I tell you or what somebody else tells you. But Jesus has a vision for your life that would involve you having a daily, current relationship with him. And friends, this is more than just devotions. We'll talk about that in just a moment. He has a vision for us to be close to him. And we see this vision in John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8, where he writes, or where he's speaking to his disciples, and it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Jesus uses this vine metaphor that was very common in the ancient world. The Greeks worshipped the Greek god Dionysus, who was the god of wine. And when it came to the Israelites, they understood this metaphor of the vine because throughout the Old Testament, the prophets had used the metaphor of a vine to speak to Israel. And whenever Israel was in a place where they weren't bearing fruit, God would speak through the prophet and speak about the vine being barren, about a vine being something other than what it should have been. And so the language is very familiar. But in this passage, Jesus doesn't refer to the audience as the vine. He says to his audience, I'm the vine. I'm the vine that you're attached to. I'm the vine that you're supposed to be connected to. I'm the vine that you are to stay close to. I'm the vine. And then he paints a picture of what that vine should look like. And not only does he have an imperative that we stay close to the vine, but he also lays out the benefits that come about from being close. Because friends, the truth is that if all you do is stay close to Jesus because he just told you, you will miss out on something so precious. He actually has benefits for your life, for you spiritually, that come from being close to the vine. And so I want to walk you through those this morning. The first benefit is pruning. I know that may not sound like a benefit, but it is. Jesus said that there's a gardener who will come along and he will examine the vine to see if there are some things that need to be cut off. And he uses really two Greek verbs. One is translated cutting and one is pruning. And while they are two different words, they both convey the same action, that there would be some kind of sharp edge that would come to part of the vine and remove something from the vine. This idea of pruning. That the gardener would come along and he would cut, he would remove branches that are fruitless. And then the gardener would come along and he'd look at the vine and he'd see little offshoots, these little green offshoots on a branch, and he would prune those. The cutting is to remove the fruitless branches so that it's not impacting fruitful branches. These are the dead branches. And the gardener comes along and sees these dead branches and he realizes that most likely something has come along to cause this branch to die. There is either a pestilence or there's some kind of disease. And now whatever has gotten into this part of the branch has caused the branch to stop being useful for what it was meant to produce. It's supposed to produce grapes. And because of the pestilence and because of the disease, it now has come to a place where it's not able to fulfill its purpose. And the gardener comes along and says, I've got to cut this off. Friends, I want to tell you something, that when you get close to the vine, when you get into the presence of Jesus, the gardener will come along and he will examine your life and he will begin to point out things that have pestilence, things that have disease, things that have caused some death in certain areas of your life, that if you continue to allow it in your life, it will get to the rest of your branch, get to the rest of your life, and it will actually cause you to be severed from Jesus. He comes along. The gardener begins to examine you in the presence of Jesus. I remember when I was a teenager, I had grown up and I had been told many times that I had a decent sense of humor. My grandmother used to tell me all the time that I had a humor like my grandfather who worked at GM. And as people were going through GM, he would sit in the corner and shoot elastics at people. And he would start laughing and he would pull pranks on people and just was always trying to do funny things. And so somewhere along the line, I grabbed hold of that and have really just held on to trying to make people laugh throughout my life. And when I was a teenager, it was like the epitome of this discovery I was in the apex of, hey, I could actually make people laugh. And so going to youth group, I would pull jokes and make comments all the way through youth service. My youth leader would be preaching, and I'd throw a little jest in the middle of the comment, and the entire youth group would laugh. And then my youth teacher would continue to share, and I'd make another little joke, and everybody would laugh. And I start to realize that because of my humor, I was getting a lot of attention. And what was a gifting within my life was now being used probably in a detrimental way. Well, I remember one night we had a missionary speaker in, and the missionary got up to speak and in our youth group, and I started to crack jokes on everything he said. I mean, there was a slideshow, and every time I saw something that was just, you know, everybody's thinking it, I started to make comments about it. Everybody laughed. Then the speaker would say something that had just a little bit of a slight double meaning, and I'd make a joke, and everybody would laugh. I did that the entire night. In fact, I'm not sure that anybody got anything from the missionary's message. But I know one thing is that everybody was looking at me, and everybody was laughing, and I was the center of attention. And the night ended, and I didn't think much of what had happened, and I decided that I would walk home, which was very common in those days. When I was a teenager, I'd often walk home from youth, and I would take that time to spend it with God. I'd get close to Him. And so I'm walking home from youth service, and I'm talking to God. It's like, oh, that was a really good mission speaker, God. That was really, really great. And I begin to talk to Him about what I want Him to do in my life. And all of a sudden, as I'm drawing close to the presence of God, the gardener shows up. And the gardener says to me, hey, that was pretty impressive tonight. What do you mean? You totally derailed that speaker as you drew all the attention toward yourself. God, I was just trying to be funny. I was just making a few jokes. I was just bringing a good ethos to the youth room. He says, what is good in your life has become a problem. And you have used this gifting, this ability to make people laugh as something that has now caused you to be self-centered. And he says, it needs to be cut off. It's going to destroy you. It's going to ruin you. You need to take control of this and cut it off. The excess. Not get rid of my humor. God didn't call me to be a monk. That wasn't it. But the excess, the excess that was unfruitful in my life, the gardener was right there and said, Jeff, I need you to cut it off. The next time you go to youth, it's not wrong to make people laugh, but when you are distracting from what God's trying to communicate from the front, you've got to pull back. I want that cut off from your life, or it will destroy you. And friends, I want to tell you that it may not feel good, it may not seem like a benefit, but every time you get into the presence of Jesus, not just praying, not just giving your list, not just going to the cashier and saying, I'd like a Big Mac meal, please. Not just ordering something, but you actually get close to Jesus, the gardener will come along and begin to cut things from your life because he wants there to be fruit. So he talks about the cutting of the branches. Then he goes on and he uses the word pruning. And he says that sometimes there are these little offshoots, these little small branches that come out of our life. They have a little green leaf on them, and you know they're about to sprout into being a part of your vine. And God comes along, the gardener comes along, and he cuts it. And the reason is that if there is just another branch that is too young or is there, but it is pulling the nutrients from the main vine. And so I'm trying to grow, but there's a sprout, and it's trying to take the nutrients that God's putting into my life. I am having those nutrients go bypass me and go into this offshoot. And what he's trying to describe there are the distractions of our life. Those things in our life that cause what God's trying to do to bypass our life and our attention to go somewhere else. Rather than getting our attention towards God so we're able to receive the nutrients, our attention goes somewhere else. Let me explain. I'll never forget being on this missions trip with my friend Clark. Clark is a shopper. It's bad. I've confessed to you that I'm a shopper too. And we were in Thailand this one year, and we're going through the markets every time we had a chance. And Clark is trying to make all kinds of deals. He one time made a deal with somebody so that I could buy sandals that I didn't even want. I mean, he was just like deal after deal after deal. And so we're buying things, we're buying all kinds of cheap items. And it's now the last day of our trip, and we're in our hotel room getting ready to leave our hotel in a few hours and make the travel back to Canada. And I'm watching Clark, and as he's starting to stuff things into his bag, he realizes that he doesn't have enough room to get everything he bought into his bag. And so what he does is he starts to cut some things out. He reaches in, and he pulls out a t-shirt that he brought with him. And it's a good t-shirt. But he takes this t-shirt that he brought from Canada to Thailand, and he tosses it in the garbage. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I don't really need that. Then he goes in, he reaches in and takes a pair of sandals, and he tosses them. Clark, those are good sandals. He's like, yeah. Then he takes a pair of shorts, and he tosses those shorts. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, Jeff, listen, I don't need this stuff. I know it's still good, but if I don't cut these things out, I won't be able to take back the stuff that I actually want. He said, I have to cut some stuff out in order to get the stuff that I want. And this is the picture that Jesus is trying to paint to us, that when we get into the presence of God, God goes, hey, there are some branches that are taking away from what you actually need. There are some branches in your life that are taking the space, that are pulling things that you really need to devote towards God, and you've got to cut them out. And the gardener comes along and begins to confront. Hey, you say that you don't have enough time to pray, but how much time did you spend on Netflix? Hey, you don't have enough time to listen to God's voice, but how much time did you go on social media? How much time did you spend on the phone talking with somebody? How much time here? And these are not bad and sinful things, but what happens is when we get in the presence of God, the gardener comes along and says, there's a little sprout in your life that's not a bad thing, but it's taking some of the essentials. It's taking some of the most important things that God's trying to pour into you. It's taking them out of your life. And in order for you to get what God wants to put in your life, you're going to have to cut some excess off. Friends, let me tell you this. If we're to become the people that God wants us to be, we've got to go into the presence of God and let the gardener walk by our way. That he cuts off the dead stuff, the diseased and the pestilence-driven stuff, the sinful stuff, but then he also prunes out stuff that may not be sinful, but it's distracting us from getting close to God. Let me ask you a question, those of you who are online and those who are in person. Are you closer to Jesus today than you were a year ago? Are you closer to Jesus today than you were 6 months ago? Are you closer to Jesus than you were 3 months ago? Because we should constantly be getting closer to Jesus. But if we're not, there's either something sinful in our life that the gardener needs to cut out, or there's something excessive that's taking the place of our time with God, and the nutrients from the vine himself is not able to get inside of us. If you want to get closer to Jesus, there's going to have to be some cutting. There's going to have to be some things that are taken out of your suitcase so that what God wants to put into you is able to fit. We get into the presence of God so that there's some pruning. Secondly, we get into the presence, when we get close to God, we get the benefit of presence. Presence. He says this, remain in me, and I also will remain in you. Let me say it again, remain in me, and I also will remain in you. This idea of remaining means to abide or continue to be with. To abide or to continue to be with. Jesus is calling us to stay, is calling the disciples to stay close. Not just to obey, not just to believe, but friends, to stay close to Jesus. Every morning, Ainsley and I sit and have coffee. I've told you a little bit about our routine before. We work out first thing in the morning, and then she goes and showers, and I make coffee, and then she comes down, and I go shower, but then we get to sit for a bit. And even though we talk for a little bit before I leave for work, I will always text her or she'll text me. We both communicate through text some point in the morning, wishing each other a good day. Now friends, it's nice. I always give her three kisses, the emojis, the three little kiss emojis. She always puts little hearts in hers, and so we communicate affection. That doesn't end our communication for the day. You know, I don't come home at nighttime at 5 o'clock and walk in the house and just, you know, go up to my room and just spend the rest of my night together thinking to myself, my goodness, I've already texted her this morning. I've already called or talked to her in person this morning. I mean, like, we spent like 20 minutes together before I went to work. Like, what more does she want? I text her, I've communicated with her. I continued to talk to her, and I asked her how her day went, and she asked me how my day went. And you're probably sitting there going, of course, this is what relationships are all about. And I want to respond back by saying, yes, that's what relationships are all about. It's not just a moment of coming before Jesus and texting him your thoughts, or the 15 minutes where you just devote to telling him certain things, or spending time with him. It's ongoing. You see, friends, we've got to get this idea out of our head that being close to Jesus is about just doing our devotions. That's not remaining with him. That's not abiding in him. To truly abide with Jesus, we don't have one conversation, but we continue to talk to him all through the day. We continue to stay close to him all through the day. Jesus is not saying, hey, if you want to be my disciple, just make sure you bring your branch and just touch the vine once a day. He's saying, stay close to me, remain close to me. I want your presence close to me. The core message is about an ongoing closeness with Jesus. But then he says this, if you will remain in me, I'll remain in you. And when I read that, I was like, I don't get it. I mean, remaining in God, I get. But what is this him remaining in me? What's that all about? As I began to study, I began to realize that Jesus is using covenant language. And we find it in James chapter 4, verse 8, where he says, where James writes, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. In the Greek, it translates something like this. If you make yourself imminently close, God will make himself imminently close to you. This is so good. If you make yourself imminently close to God, he will make himself imminently close to you. Jesus is making a covenant that as we come close to the vine, he comes close to us. There's not this question like, if I step close to Jesus, is he even going to show up? No, Jesus is declaring, look, I have a covenant with you that if you will come close to me, the benefit you get of pursuing me on a regular basis all through the day is that I'm going to show up in your life. My presence is going to show up in your life. This last 2 weeks, I've had the opportunity to hang out with three of my friends who were former youth directors. A week and a half ago, I saw my buddy Dave Slater, who was one time the youth director in Western Ontario, and we had dinner together in part of a larger group of a larger meeting, and it was just great to see him again. Then last Sunday, many of you heard Paul Fraser, who was church ministries director when I was youth director, and we got to spend the entire day together. But then on Monday, my buddy Jim Malloy was here, and Jim is the church ministries director for the Maritimes District. Jim and I were youth directors for 13 years together, and he just stayed in district office, and he continues to stay there. And we have been good friends over the years. One of the things you need to know about me is that on Mondays, it's my sermon preparation day. And if you contact me on a Monday, you're not likely going to get any correspondence back from me. If you call me, you're not likely going to get a phone call back. If you text me, you might get a text, but probably not. If you email me, you won't get one back, because Monday I devote to writing my message, and I keep it pretty sacred. It takes a lot to get me off of that rhythm. Last Monday, Jim's in Ottawa, and I knew that he would be leaving on Tuesday, and I knew my schedule. And so I texted him and said, where are you going to be today? He said, well, I'm going to be hanging out at the Rideau Center while my wife and my mother-in-law shop. And I was like, okay, I'm coming down at lunchtime. And I diverted from my rhythm, and I went down to the Rideau Center, and Jim and I sat for an hour having coffee and second cup. We hung out together and talked just like we had been together the day before because of the friendship we have. As I was driving home, I was thinking to myself, I've served with a number of youth directors from all across Canada. But there aren't a lot that I would have done that for on a Monday. There aren't a lot of people that I would have just dropped everything and just gone and drove downtown just to sit for an hour with coffee. But I have a covenant relationship with Jim Malloy. He might not like to say that, or he might not admit that he has that with me, but we have this closeness where we will drop everything for the sake of that person. And friends, that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying that when you pursue him, when you get close to him, when you take time and say, I'm going to turn off the TV, when you say, I'm going to pull away from work, when you say, hey, I'm going to go into my bedroom and just get alone with God, that Jesus says, you get close to me, I will drop everything and get close to you. I will show up. Friends, this is so powerful because for some of us, we wait till Sunday morning to experience the presence of Jesus when Jesus is promising us that if we will draw close to him at any point throughout the other 6 days, that he will drop everything and just show up in our life. You see, Jesus is so desperate that we would get close to the vine because he wants to show up in our life. And I want to tell you something. Don't wait for Sunday morning for the presence of Jesus in your life. Don't wait for the Bible study for the presence of Jesus in your life. Don't wait for some special event for the presence of Jesus in your life. You have been given a guarantee that if you just simply draw close, he'll draw close to you. You remain in him, and he will remain in you. Covenant relationship. I drop everything because you're wanting to spend time with me. That's the Jesus that we serve. And so we get the presence of Jesus when we draw close. And lastly, production. He says, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5. Jesus is emphatic about this idea that we are unable to bear the fruit, the godly fruit that is necessary for a Christian's life without being close to him. Proximity is required to get the nutrients from the vine in order to produce the fruit. You can't have a branch right here and the vine right here and saying, well, I'm pretty close, and so I just expect the nutrients just to teleport over to this branch, and I'll bear the grapes that I need for a good wine. No, Jesus says, you want fruit? You've got to get the branch into the vine. Proximity is required. Friends, please listen. It is impossible. It is impossible for you to produce the godly fruit that Jesus requires of you without being close to him. It's impossible. Listen, you can go to chapters right after the service, and you can go through the self-help section right at the back of Indigo. You'll see all kinds of books that will talk to you about how to produce patience, how to produce resilience, how to produce kindness, all kinds of secular mindsets and all kinds of self-help stuff. And they are great books. But friends, that stuff is built upon man's attempt to live up to what God wants. But you will never, no matter how many of those books you read, you will never be in a place where you can produce the proper fruit. Jesus is insistent upon this. If you want godly fruit in your life, you've got to be close to Jesus. You've got to have a relationship with Jesus. Let me just tell you something. I notice it sometimes in people's lives. When I start to see a perpetual lack of fruit, when I start to see anger or unkindness or other non-fruits, when I start to see some bad stuff, I think to myself, oh man, I don't think that person's spending much time with Jesus. Because listen, you can't truly spend time with Jesus and be a mean person. Just so you know. You can't truly spend time with Jesus and be a non-stop critical person. You can't spend tons of time with Jesus and be a gossiper. You can't spend tons of time with Jesus and be full of pride. You can't spend tons of time with Jesus and bear things that are so opposite to the fruit that comes from his presence. You've got to be close to Jesus to bear fruit. And when you truly are with Jesus, fruit starts to manifest itself. The Associated Press released a report done by an agricultural school in Iowa. 100 bushels of corn from 1 acre of land needs the following: 4 million pounds of water, 6,800 pounds of oxygen, 5,200 pounds of carbon, 160 pounds of nitrogen, 125 pounds of potassium, 75 pounds of yellow sulfur, plus many other nutrients. And what the study realized is that only 5% of the production is associated towards the farmer's effort. The other 95% is all reliant upon God. And friends, the same truth is there for your spiritual life. There is a small portion that is dependent upon you. The rest is dependent upon God. You see, my efforts achieve very little. Relationship produces seeds in our lives. There's a scripture in Psalm 1 verse 1 that's just so incredible. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. And what the psalmist is trying to unveil before us is that when we go those ways, when we walk with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the company of mockers, we will see the seeds of those individuals land in our life. And we will begin to produce fruit that looks just like them. Because the more that you are around somebody, the more that you spend time with somebody, the more that you are like them. I'm not much of a cook, but I know a little bit about marinating. You take a piece of chicken, and you just throw it in the oven, and it's going to taste just like a bland piece of chicken. But you put that chicken into some kind of teriyaki sauce, and you leave that there all day. And that piece of chicken begins to soak in the teriyaki sauce. So that by the time it's done cooking, that bland piece of chicken tastes just like what it's been marinated in. Friends, you will taste like what you've been marinated in. If you are marinated in relationships around you, marinated in people that are not spending time with God, you will taste just like them. But if you spend time in the presence of Jesus, if you get close to the vine, there is a marinating that takes place that when you come out of the presence of Jesus, or as you continue to maintain your relationship with Jesus, people start to taste you and go, oh, he tastes a little bit like Jesus. He smells like Jesus, whatever Jesus smells like. You see, there's a marinating that takes place. The closer you are to the vine, the nutrients of the vine begin to flow into you, and you become like the vine. And friends, I want to tell you something. If you want to walk in this world so that people see Jesus in you, marinate yourself in the vine. Abide in the vine. Stay close to the vine. Let the fruit that can only be produced by God be produced as you stay close to Him, not in your own efforts. Because let me promise you this. If you fail to take time with God on a regular basis, you will try to produce the fruit and be so frustrated. Because you can't. You can't do it. Just a piece of information. I can't give birth, okay? Just so you know that. I'm a man. I can't give birth. It's absolutely impossible. And everybody who's watching today is going, absolutely, that makes complete sense. It's as impossible for me to give birth as it is for you to bear godly fruit without being close to Jesus. You've got to understand, I want this in your head. Jesus was emphatic about it, that you can't bear fruit by being disconnected from the vine. You've got to be close. Let me land the plane this morning. A number of years ago, like many years ago, I was in a bunch of meetings, and there was this teacher, and I'm not going to mention the name. Many of you would know him, but this leader, international leader, was in this room, and he was teaching us. And when I finished listening to him, I came home, flew back from the middle of the country, got home. I said to Ainsley, I said, you'll never believe what I was taught, and I was so full of life and so full of excitement, and I was just like energized by this person. Over the next few years, there were some sporadic moments where we connected. There were a couple intentional ones where I brought this speaker in to some of our events. And every single time that I was with him, I would be energized, I'd be inspired, I'd want to do more things for Jesus. I was always, always motivated. Hit and miss moments throughout my life, number of years like that. Then one day it came, I started to think about this individual. I thought, you know what? Every time I'm with this person, I'm a better person. I'm gonna start to make sure that I'm close to this person on a regular basis. It's going to require effort. I'm going to have to reach out to him more often. I'm going to have to text him, which I do. I'm going to have to do some Zoom calls, which I do. I'm going to have to do whatever, whenever he's in the area, I'm going to have to try to make sure I can get connected with him. I want to stay close to him because every time I'm with him, I find that I'm a better person. And friends, the truth is that that's what Jesus wants you to have in your heart towards him. Is that you would recognize that when you are close to Jesus, that you're actually a better person. That you're actually more reflective of God himself. But the only way to ensure that you stay close to him is that you're going to have to put the effort into it. you're going to have to pay attention. You're going to have to put some guardrails in your life against some of the bad stuff and against some of the things that are just excessive. And then, like, allow him to get close as you pursue him. Because at the end of the day, as you stay close to Jesus, you will become more like him. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment? Church, as I close this service, we're going into this month of series called With God. And we've just done holiness. We've just done spiritual warfare. Now I want to take time to go after God with our lives. And although the moments together are powerful when we go after God, my prayer is that when you leave this place, you would pursue him like you haven't before, that you would stay close to the vine. And as you do, you allow the gardener to prune stuff out of your life. And as you do, you will experience the covenant of presence. And as you do, you'll see fruit that Jesus desires in you start to grow in your life. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for this incredible passage in John, that you are the vine and we are the branches. And gardener, I'm asking that you would come along and that you would, as we get close to you, that you would start to evaluate our branch. And you would see things that need to be cut off because of pestilence and disease, things that are sinful, God. Cut them off so that they won't destroy the rest of our body. God, would you come along, gardener, would you come along and cut off little offshoots that are sucking nutrients that really need to be devoted towards God. Take the things out that don't fit in our suitcase, God, and let us keep the things that really matter. I pray that we would experience your presence. God, I pray for this church, those who are online and in person, that they wouldn't just do devotions, but they would experience the presence of Jesus throughout the entire day. As they're driving, the presence of Jesus would be there. As they're doing their dishes, the presence of Jesus would be there. There would be this ongoing communion, covenant presence. And I pray that you would produce in us only that which can be produced as we stay close to you. And when we come out of your presence, our kids and our neighbors and our colleagues and the people at church would begin to see fruit in our lives, and they would know that we've been marinating in you. So God, produce what you want in our lives. We are committing our lives to staying close to the vine. Bless this church now. Be with them this week in everything they need to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.